1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 says this, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from that empty light, that empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but this precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." And I want to preach for a while this morning from the subject, Jesus paid it all. Father, we thank you for this time together. I pray, God, you'll help me to be accurate as I teach your word, to speak what it is that you want communicated here today. Give us open hearts and ears to hear it and receive it. And the Holy Spirit empower us to implement it in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The message I want to share with you this morning is not going to be anything, you know, revolutionary to you. It's all going to probably be very familiar things that we all know, that we've all heard, passages that we've read many times. But the song, Jesus Paid It All, that Cade was the last song that he led. I love that song. And there's a version of it that he led that's a guy named Christian Stanfill leads. And I just love that song. And I know that the message is familiar to all of us. The song is probably familiar to a lot of you. But it's, I think that sometimes, while I like to share things that maybe an insight that maybe we've never considered before into Scripture and go a little bit deeper, every now and then it's just good to go back and look at the basics. Just look at the truth of what's been done for us. And maybe it's a sign of age that as I get older, that I'm more appreciative of realizing how failed and flawed I am, and yet God loves me and what he's done for me. And even though I realize my failure and my shortcomings and the sin in my life and how many times I grossly failed to live up to what God would want me to be, I still have more and more confidence that because of what Jesus did, I am saved. Regardless of me, I am saved. And how that happened. And sometimes, like I said, I think it's just good to be reminded of these things. I love this song. And I thought, you know what? I want to just kind of look at what this song says and be reminded of what it is that Christ has done for us. Oh, praise the Lord, the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. And as Christians, that's where we all are here this morning, that we are. Our debt was paid by Christ, and we were dead, but now we live again. And because of that, we should have great gratitude for what has been done for us. And it doesn't hurt us every now and then to be reminded of this truth, that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but his blood has washed it white as snow. And that is the story of the Christian. So I want to kind of work through some of the lyrics of this song and just be reminded about what Christ has done for us. I want to go first to Ephesians 1, verses 7 through 9. Ephesians 1, 7 through 9, and it says this, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ." First thing it talks about is being in him. Ephesians 1:7 starts off, in him. What does that mean, in him? Well, Galatians 3:27 says that we are clothed with Christ. And so when I think about being in him, I think about the fact that I have, from God's perspective, I guess, in the spiritual realm, I have on a Jesus suit. You didn't know he wore plaid, did you? I am clothed with Christ. I'm in him. My life is in him. When God looks at me, he sees Jesus. What he's saying is that all of Jesus' attributes, his nature, his character, his goodness, his righteousness, his holiness, all of those things are attributed to me. I live in him because that's his nature. That's my nature. And that's what God sees. So when I'm in him, all of the goodness of Christ and who he is a part of me as well. Not because I am, but because they are attributed to me, they are bestowed upon me because of the work of Christ on the cross. And as Paul writes to the Galatians, we basically understand that we are clothed with Christ. All of those attributes apply to us. We are redeemed. He says, in him we have redemption. I'm redeemed. Before salvation, our lives belonged not to God, but to Satan. It says, he was our father. He's the prince of this world. That's who we belong to. Before we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we actually, our father was Satan. That's what Scripture teaches us. But it says redemption is that he purchased me back from that, that I no longer belong to him. He ransomed me. There was a ransom that was needed. There was a price that had to be paid. That's what redemption is that Jesus paid the price of his life to pay that ransom and purchase me back. So now I belong to Christ, not to Satan. Before salvation, we belonged to Satan. Jesus paid the ransom, a life with his life. He paid that ransom to purchase my life. He paid it with his life. He bought us back. And it's because of his blood, because Hebrews 9:22 says that there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. That's why Jesus had to pay with his life. It's why he had to die on the cross and shed his blood, because there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. I didn't make that up. That's what Hebrews 9:22 says. So it was necessary for him to shed his blood to purchase us back. Why? Why was it blood? Why is the shedding of blood necessary for the forgiveness of sin? Well, Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to make atonement for yourself on the altar." It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Why did blood have to be shed? Because life is where? It's in the blood. So his life was given for our life. His blood was shed because the life is in the blood. This was the plan. This was the system. I don't know if we sometimes stop and think about this, but God has designed a system, a structure by which our redemption took place. And this is the system that he designed. The life of the creature is in the blood. He designed it so that when Jesus shed his perfect blood, it's applied to our life. That serves as an atonement. It atones for our sins when it's applied to our life. That's why I need to have my life in him. It's the shedding of his blood that atones for my sins. That's why I need to be in him, so the work of his blood is applied to me. My sin left a crimson stain, but his blood has washed me white as snow. I no longer have that stain of sin. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, he ends this up. All this took place according to his good pleasure. It was God's good pleasure to redeem you. It was God's good pleasure. Think about that. God's good pleasure for his son to die on the cross. Not because he wanted to see his son suffer and die, but because it redeemed us. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. What was God's good pleasure? His good pleasure was to buy us back from Satan, because we were created by him, amen, for him, but through sin, Satan becomes our father. He wants us back. He wants to make us like Christ. It was God's good pleasure to buy us back and to make us like Christ. We are Christ-like. Whether we realize it or not, we are Christ-like. Because we are what? Clothed with Christ. He wants us to ultimately to live with him eternally. What was God's good purpose? That we would live eternally with him. So what did he do? He bought us back. How do we know this is God's purpose? Because that's who Jesus is. That was what he intended. That's what he came into this world to do. He purposed to come into this world to buy us back, to redeem us from sin, and then clothe us with himself. So we see it's in him. We are redeemed by his blood, giving us new life. Our sin is forgiven. And this was God's purpose and his good pleasure all along. When we go on in this song, he says, "I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. find in me thine all in all. It's only in this position in Christ that we can really find our all in all. We have to be in Christ. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, there's that phrase again, in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit, but apart from me, he can do nothing. Whatever strength we have, whatever nourishment that we feed upon, whatever growth and maturity is taking place in our lives only takes place as we are in Christ. It only happens because of Christ. We have none of our own. Do any of us, this is where we stand in the world. There are people in the world today that are, fancy themselves as the world's ruling elite, who really believe that they can reach a point to where human beings don't die. They want to live forever. Now, how many of you believe that that's possible? Thank God. Thank you for nobody raising your hand. That's not possible, people. Why? Because I know that God, we are not a cosmic accident. We are not the result of some primordial ooze, okay? God created us in his image. And God designed us, now that we are fallen, for these physical lives to come to an end. He didn't want us to live eternally in these fallen, sinful bodies, because then we would never be restored back to him in heaven. Right? When Adam and Eve sinned, what are we told that he did? He put them out of the garden, right? And then he guarded the entrance to the garden so that they couldn't come back in and do what? Eat from the tree of life and live forever. That's not what he wanted, because now man is sinful. And if we lived forever in a fallen state, we would never be restored back to him as his children. We would never live together again with him, which is what he had always created us for. And remember, I've taught it before. He created us for what? Why did God create man? Because God is love. But without man, he has no one to love. I love that thought. He created me because he wanted to love me. But if I'm separated from him eternally, then the object of his creation, of his love, is not with him. Everything I have is in Christ. I can only access this plan of God, this system that he designed for Christ to come into this world, be a perfect sacrifice, shed his blood. The life is in the blood. It's applied to me. And then I can be forgiven. I can be redeemed. And I can be restored to a right relationship with him. It's only because I'm in Christ that those things are possible. I cannot be separated from him. As it said here in John 15:5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. It's only when I remain in him that I can have any growth in life. Apart from him, what? What happens? I got home from California. Of course, the yard was, a mess. Buckhorn all over the place, And so I went out, I mowed, and there was one tree that had really, I had done some trimming earlier, but it's before things really start to bud and bloom. So once I did that, now things bud and bloom. One tree I trimmed around, it still had a bunch of stuff growing on it. It makes it hard to mow around. So I went out and I cut off those branches that were now growing that made it hard for me to mow around the tree. You know what happens to those branches now that I lopped them off? They die. Because the branches, once severed from the vine or the tree, they do what? They die. We are the branches. The only way we have life is to remain in him. We cannot become separated from Christ, because if we do, we do not have the life that God created for us to do, to live. He is, as it ends that phrase, find in me thine all in all. Everything that we desire, that we want to be, that God created us to be, is only found in Christ. A branch separated from the tree dies. There is no life in a branch by itself. It just doesn't happen. On our own, we are weak and in the process of dying. Our life is ours, and it only exists because of Jesus and us being in him. It talks about the joy. We have this joy. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." We should find joy in the fact that when we live in him, that we have this wonderful, joyful life in Christ, that we have purpose. All these things I'm listing are things found in Christ. We have life in Christ. We have joy in Christ. We have purpose in life when we are in Christ. Romans 8:17 says, "I know that there is nothing that good lives in me. There is, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." I have purpose in Christ. I can't do that, as Romans 7:18 says, I can't do that on my own. But Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works together for those good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose." So purpose, we have life in Christ, we have joy in Christ, we have purpose in Christ. You have purpose to your life in Christ. But in and of yourself, Romans 7:18 says, you can't do it on your own. But the good news is Romans 8:28 says that in him we can, right? Because he's what? He's purposed good for us. Those who are called according to his purpose, when we are in him, then we can receive and do good. We have wisdom in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, "But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So do you want wisdom? Do you ever think, boy, I wish I was wiser? I wish I had better understanding? What does it say is our wisdom? It says, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. If you get Christ, you get wisdom. Getting Christ is the same as getting the wisdom of God. When we see and we understand and interact with the world through the person of Christ, then we have the wisdom of God. We're living it. We see it. We understand it. All these things are available to us, again, in Christ. We have life in Christ. We have joy in Christ. We have purpose in Christ. We have wisdom in Christ. These things are ours. Strength. We have strength in Christ. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Through who? Through Christ, who strengthens me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen? You want to make God happy? It's all about Jesus. You want to have the life that God prepared for you? It's all about Jesus. He wants us. He's our big brother. He wants us to have our lives in him, modeled after him. We should be strengthened by the knowledge that Jesus has already fought and won the battle for us. The song sings, "He raised us up from the dead." I can't think of any more difficult battle to overcome than physical death itself, but Christ has done it. Why? Because in Christ we can do all things. Jesus has already fought that battle when he went to the cross and when he was resurrected from the dead. He's fought that battle. He's won that battle. Our strength is in him. Romans 8:31 says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Our strength is in Christ. Our life is in Christ. Romans 5:10, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" I know that you probably know this, but I'm going to say it again just as a reminder. Jesus' death, the shedding of his blood, forgave our sins. It was the resurrection, his resurrected life, that gives us life. Had Jesus died on the cross but never resurrected, we would be forgiven of our sins, but we would not live eternally. What would be the purpose of that? Our life is in the life, the resurrected life of Christ. Because he rose from the dead, we also will live again. One of the most fascinating things that I have almost no understanding of, I've not really ever studied it much, I just know the Bible talks about it, is when Jesus died, what happened? Do you remember what happened about people came back to life. It says that they were seen. Tombs were opened up, people got out of the grave, and they were seen walking around in the city, in the towns. New life. Because of the life of Christ. We have life. We have life in Christ. Let me go on in the lyrics. It says, Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone, can change the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. Ephesians 3:20 says, for now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Indeed, I find thy power. Where's my power? What's it say here? I have immeasurable power. But my power is what? It's him working in me according to his power. I've always loved that. It's not according to my power. It's not according to, you know, anything that I can do. It's according to his power. If you want to see the great things of God take place, where it says to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, it happens according to his power. Lord, now indeed I find thy power. We need to not find our own power, our own strength. We need to find his power. His power that's at work within us. Any power that I have in Jesus is Jesus' power because he's the one who makes it available to me. It's his power, but he makes it available to us. I am his, and his power is mine. When I surrender to him, I am his. He says, hey, Randy, here, I make my power available to you. How much power is it? Well, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's a pretty fair amount of power, I think. That's the kind of power that God wants us to have in this life. It says he changes the leper's spot. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Our spots, what are we as lepers? Lepers, we are sinful. That is who we are. He changes that. He has the ability to actually change that and make us something new, something that did not ever exist before. To make us new creations in Christ. He is life changer. Life does not get perfect when you become a Christian, just automatically. Everything doesn't just become wonderful. And I don't know what your experience is. I find that people have different experiences with their salvation. I didn't become automatically, you know, where I am today when I got saved. It's a process, but I had available to me the ability to become a new creation. In the spirit realm, I was a new creation. God saw me different. Even though I've continued to work to hopefully mature and become more of what God wants me to be over the years, spiritually, I became clothed with Christ. And he saw his nature applied to me. And that's true for all of us. I mean, hopefully we can grow and mature as we go along. It doesn't mean it's always easy, but we have that power available to us. We have the power of Christ, as we read in Ephesians 3:20, to begin to make that change. And we can change. He says to make us change the leper's spot and then to melt this heart of stone. If our hearts aren't changed, it's going to be hard to change our spots. If our hearts aren't changed by our salvation, then how are we going to change? Those spots would be like my character, my nature, my behavior, the things I do, the desires of my flesh, the desires of my soul. If my heart isn't changed, if my heart of stone isn't melted, then how are those things going to begin to change? New birth in Christ has to first and foremost take place in the melting that heart of stone in order for those spots in our lives to begin to change. And again, those spots may not change overnight, but I will say this. If you ever wonder if you've really understood your salvation of what Jesus has done for us, you should ask yourself this. And I don't mean this in a warm, in some emotional way, but I mean, has God really melted my heart? Or do I still have that old hard heart to the world around me that I had before I was a Christian. Because it starts, the heart has to melt. God has to soften our hearts to indifference to the world around us, that we have a level of caring and compassion of the world, of the people around us. He wants to melt this heart of stone that's in us that we don't have, that we have before we know him, so that we can begin to change our lives. And again, you know what? I'm going to be working on this until the day I leave this world. I'm never going to perfect it. That's what Jesus' grace is for, because he applies that to me. Let me Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That to me is the core of salvation in us, where it starts. That God knows that what needs to happen for us to be the people he wants us to be is that we have to have that change of heart. And so it may not sound always so comfortable, but you got to let God melt your heart. You got to let God soften you up. It's okay to become a more caring and compassionate person to the world and the people around you. The world needs forgiveness. The world needs love. The world needs hope. The world needs to know, and the people around us need to know, that there's people that care about them. We can't do that unless we have that heart of stone melted inside of us. Going on in the lyrics, it says, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Revelation 3:21 says, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. It says here, again, the lyrics, and when before the throne I stand in him complete. Here we have Jesus saying, when we're saved, we're going to do what? We're going to sit with him on his throne. We're going to be with him. Jesus says that if we overcome with him, we will sit on his throne. If we are not complete, whole, if we're not perfect in Christ, we won't be allowed to sit on his throne. This only comes through this new birth, through that crimson stain being washed away and being made white because of the blood of Jesus and being raised to new life. But when we do that, he says, before the throne, I stand in him complete. We're going to stand at the throne complete. We can't stand at the throne if we're lacking anything. If we're less than complete, if we're less than whole, if we're less than perfect in Christ, we will not be able to stand before the throne. But because we are in Christ, we are made complete, and we are going to be standing at the throne of God. That's an amazing thing to me. Jesus died my soul to save. Why am I saved? Because Jesus died. He died so that my soul could be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I'm saved, eternal life. Because why? Because he gave his Son. He gave his Son to death on the cross, my soul to save. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, meaning the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. He died to make us complete. I'm healed from all my flaws, all my failures, all my shortcomings, all my sin. He died on the tree, on the cross, so that my sins were done away with. And that makes me complete. And when I'm complete, I do what? I can stand at the throne of God. Can you imagine? Do you ever just sense the presence of God when we're all together here worshiping him, and you just sense the presence of God through the Holy Spirit? And so it's an amazing thing, isn't it? Think of what it's going to be like. That's nothing. That's like the tiniest speck compared to standing before the throne of God. I love to think about that kind of stuff, you know, and I've shared this before. What was the most minor irritation that you've experienced recently? Just the most little minute irritation. Not a big catastrophe, not a worry, not a crisis, not a frustration, not a anger, just the most little minute irritation. That won't exist in heaven. Can you ever just stop and think about that? The most minute little irritation won't even be a thing. When you think about freedom, that to me is freedom. To not have those kinds of things that plague us all the time. I'm getting irritated just looking at you. I'm just kidding. None of that will be in existence. It won't happen. It won't enter one piece of gray matter in our minds. I love to marvel at that kind of stuff. We're going to be made complete. My lips shall still repeat. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Our lips should be praising God for this truth of these passages of scripture that are contained in this song. Is Cade back there? Hopefully. Is he somewhere? Cade, if you can hear me, I'd like him to come back out here. I want us to sing this song again. Just get ready here in a minute. He's just been standing back there waiting this whole time. This song, that's why I love this song, because it takes so many of these elements about what Christ has done for us, the price that Jesus paid for us, who we were, the status that we were in, our sin, this crimson stain. It's a stain, and it's not a stain that OxyClean can get out. All right? This is a stain that's going to last. There's only one thing that gets rid of it, and that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. If we really are saved, then we don't belong to ourselves anymore. Jesus is the one who paid the price to purchase us back, to forgive those sins. Revelation 7:14 says, I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's who we are here today. Washed and made white. That white means perfect, holy, righteous in God's sight. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Our sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. I want us to sing this song again and just take a few minutes to just meditate on what he's done for us. Sorry, what?
And I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's thoughts and melt the heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, 'cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes and just give an opportunity. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I've never really understood what you've talked about today, this idea of salvation, to surrender my life to Jesus, to live in him. But I understand that I'm sinful and that he shed his blood so that my sin could be forgiven, and then he raised to life so that I can have new and eternal life. I need to confess that today. I need to acknowledge that I need that salvation. And I want to do that. Without anybody looking around, you can just slip your hand up, just an outward expression that we're told that is important to receive Christ as our Savior. It's the most important thing that we'll ever do in our lives, because it gives us the life that God created us to do. You know what I think would be good for all of us today? To just pray again and reaffirm that we understand what it is that God has done for us. And so I want you to just kind of repeat after me here this morning as we close this service and say, Father, I have sinned and I fall short of the glory of God. But I understand that you love me and you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Because of that, I am clean. Holy, pure, and perfect. And for that I give you the praise. And as Christ raised to new life, I am raised to new life. I believe this. I receive it. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.